afternoon, happy 3 o'clock hour, and welcome to the Matt McNeil Show. I'm Gregory Rich, sitting in for the venerable Mr. McNeil, who is taking some time off. I believe he is providing complimentary foot rubs to disenfranchised panda bears in occupied Tibet. Is that correct, Brett?
That is. He's a very honorable man.
He truly is. He's doing the Lord's work.
Praise to Matt.
Praise to Matt. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
As I said, I'm Gregory Rich. Normally, I am the host of Drink in the Style, which airs on AM 950 on Saturdays at 7 and Sundays at 5 p.m. But Mr. McNeil has foolishly given me the keys to the virtual hot rod that is the Matt McNeil Show. And we're going to see what we can do with it. Thank you for joining me. Brett will be helping me out a tremendous amount, I think, because this is not something I'm accustomed to doing, and we're trying out kind of a new format. If you joined us yesterday, you know that the theme that we run with is solutions. This is a solutions-based program. We're going to talk about a particular issue, and then I'm going to encourage folks to call in, and the phone number, by the way, is 952-946-6205. That's 952-946-6205. And if you have an issue and you want to talk about it, I encourage it 100%, but I also really want you guys to be able to provide a solution. Tell us how to solve a problem instead of just complaining about it. No offense. Did that sound rude, Brett? Was that all right?
No, that's so true. Yeah, yeah. It's easy to sit there and complain and look at what's wrong in the world. In fact, I was even trying to take that into my last show as I was interviewing a couple of people. I was saying at the end, all right, well, what's your solution to this problem we're talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Because you can whine. Well, whine's probably not the best term to use, but you can complain about what's happening. You can point out what's wrong with the world, but if you don't have a solution to that problem, well, what's the point?
And there is value to pointing out what's wrong in the world. You have to know that there are problems. But we need to get to the point as a society where we are actually figuring out how to fix things instead of just telling other people how wrong they are. So I have a subject that we're going to discuss this afternoon. And I mentioned it again on yesterday's program, but here is the problem. And let's see if we can figure out or come up with some ideas on how to solve this problem. The issue is damage to the American brand. The United States, once the darling of the world, beloved by so many and a beacon of light, has unfortunately really taken it on the chin here in the age of Trump. We've done terrible things, both domestically and internationally. And the fact is that we do not have a great brand anymore. And we can talk about it in two directions. Internationally, I mean, seriously, we've undermined ourselves and our ability to make treaties and agreements, because who is going to trust us anymore? For the love of goodness, look what we did to the Kurds. Honestly, this is a loss of reputation or brand, if you will. Also, question about commitments to international agreements on the climate. The fact that we are alone against the world in favor, apparently, of turning the sky to ashes and soot if it benefits the clean coal industry. That's one thing we need to talk about. We can talk about the loss of confidence and the value of the brand domestically as well. I don't know about you guys, but quite honestly, it's terrible. I almost feel bad about anything red, white, and blue.
Well, you made this observation when you've traveled overseas. You're almost ashamed to say you're from the United States.
You know what? I've traveled quite a bit internationally.
And you're not the only person who thinks that, too.
Everybody knows you should. The first answer is, where are you from? The answer is Canada. it's the safest choice. And that used to be just as a matter of safety if you were in Southeast Asia or something like that. When you would go to other parts of the country, of the world, Europe or things like that, you might say Canada just to avoid controversy, but you would generally say American. Now you don't even want to say American.
Mm-hmm.
I was in London last summer. And we were taking a tour of the Tower of London, and they have the guy in the Beefeater outfit, and he's shouting things out and telling you what's going on. And he said at one point, he goes, all right, well, let's find out where everyone is from. And who's here from Australia? And there's this big Australian Aussie cheer. And then he goes, who is from France? And, you know, a very sexualized cheer came out of the French group, I guess you'd call it. And they said, who's a Yankee? Who's from America? And it was a quiet murmur that came out. And he actually laughed and he goes, yeah, your Yanks aren't quite as loud as you used to be. That it was clearly a fact that we know that we're not loved anymore out in the world. So how are we gonna fix that? So where should we start? And then also, again, folks, I want to talk about other solutions, other problems. If you've got an idea to something that is hitting our society, feel free to call in and just pick that up. But as far as the brand goes, Brett, what do you think? Will you ever see or be comfortable? I don't know. Did you ever wear anything with an American flag on it? Did you wear anything that was red, white, and blue at any point? And do you now feel like doing so is a political statement that you don't want to make?
Wow, that's a really interesting way to put it. I had not in the first place, probably since why I was a kid when I would wear like the Dream Team jersey for the basketball team. Mm-hmm. But in all seriousness, though, no, I generally didn't wear that type of clothing. But you framed that in a really interesting way. Because, yeah, wearing American flag clothing is almost a political statement now, where it's been hijacked by a certain segment of the population to say, I support these candidates and these set of policies.
Yes.
Which is unbelievable. So
it's the seizure of American iconography. Mm-hmm. The fact that somehow the right has managed to, while simultaneously supporting the least American president of all time, the only one who doesn't just not care about what the Constitution says, doesn't care what it is, let alone what it says. It's crazy. And yet somehow this group has taken those colors and made them their own. I have a pair of shorts from Vineyard Vines, right? And it's little whales. And the little whales have tiny little flags in them. They were cute. They were whatever. I think they were a Father's Day gift, whatever I wore them before. I've relegated them to around the house shorts because I don't want to go out because I'm afraid that wearing the red, white, and blue is going to identify me as a member of the right. And it's done. So we need a Madison Avenue push. We need to have some kind of I guess, effort by the blue states to somehow make the American flag something that belongs to us again. I don't know. Should it be like a Coca-Cola test? Maybe it should be like the old Coke-Pepsi challenge, you know? Put a Confederate flag in one and some toxic fluid, maybe some Lysol, keep the COVID away, and some whiskey in the left. Is that going to do it?
Make your choice, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Folks, noodle that for a little bit. We have a caller that I'd love to go to, actually, because he's got a different issue that he would like to talk about. Let's talk to Randy from St. Cloud. Randy, welcome to the Matt McNeil Show.
Well, I don't necessarily have a different issue. I have a plethora of issues, but I would like to start, if I may, with your opening statement that you're here replacing the venerable... Matt McNeil, and I'd just like to read venerable, an adjective commanding respect because of great age and impressive dignity, worthy of veneration or reverence as because of high office or noble character. And my question to you, sir, is have you met Matt McNeil?
Noble and resplendent, I believe, would be the words that I would unquestionably use. Truly.
Yeah. Well then, are you sure you didn't vote for Trump? No.
He pays me $3. He pays me $3 every time I say something nice about him.
Oh, God. That's a great plan.
He's probably good for it, right? I mean, McNeil IOU has got to be worth something.
Oh, I'm sure he'll be right there for you.
So, what are you thinking, Randy?
The solutions, we're just supposed to have solutions, and I don't even need to say the problems because they're so obvious, but ranked choice voting. We'll get rid of the two-party system so that the wonderful President Obama can't blow out Bernie Sanders and give us Joe Biden, who can hardly say a sentence, and the best plan he's got is to stay in his basement, and it's working because he's beating Trump because Trump's a complete moron. Let's see. We want to bring a splendidness of the USA back to the world. Let's stop bombing people with our drone program. Take the money we save by not droning people and use that to provide services to the Americans who need it right now.
It's a great call. Stop killing people is probably a really solid...
Yeah, stop killing people, and, geez, we might end terrorism. That's
really?
Just, that was no. Are those connected? Somehow people have told me that's connected. I haven't seen the evidence yet.
They hate our freedom to kill them, apparently offends them in some way.
They hate our freedom. They're going, we don't even know who you are.
We get a lot of trouble
what
on this
is America?
One.
I'm in a little village in Afghanistan, and these big things come over, and they drop stuff that blows up, and my kids die.
Yeah.
So anyway,
yeah. No, it's terrible. And the missiles we fired at Palestine for generations, of course, were, those might as well have been trailing American flags.
Well, and those get, after we throw those down on people who don't know that they're coming and don't know why they're coming, then we have to replace them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
of course,
we got to fill those warehouses full of more bombs. So if we quit doing that crap, we could save a bundle. If we quit giving military equipment to the police departments across the United States, our police would stop being militarized.
Mm-hmm.
That could save us some money.
Mm-hmm.
If we quit having the police go out to catch the dogs that people call because we don't have dog catchers anymore, we could bring back dog catchers. People who know how to deal with dogs, who don't just pull out their .45 and shoot it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if we get any dumber, we're going to deserve everything we get.
Yeah. Truly just jaw-dropping in terms of the short-term decisions that we have made over and over again. And there's been talk about, the police forces, obviously being militarized, they're also socialized to become aggressive.
Take a look
and watch CSI or these other programs. When do you see a decent cop who isn't eventually either killed or, some kind of, subject of humor?
They're serpical, mm-hmm. right? They're shot in the face, literally, because he wasn't going to go dirty. Mm-hmm. And he wrote an article in Politico, I don't know, it was probably 2 years ago, and he said, guess what? It's worse now than it was when he left the police department in New York City.
Did he really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's just so sad. It's like, no, we can't keep getting worse.
Yeah.
So the good cop, bad cop is a giant pile of manure. Because if they're good cops, then do something about the bad cops.
Well, that's a good point. Like I've said that so many times.
Do something about the bad cops, they get shot.
The fact that they keep electing Bob Kroll really also indicates that, they say, it's 1% of cops are bad cops. It's a lot like being a Trump supporter, if I may say so. You're supporting someone who is horrific and terrible. And you may be saying, well, it's not that I like that he's horrific and terrible. I like some of the other things he does. No, you're supporting someone who's horrific and terrible. And by the law of syllogism, if A equals B and B equals C, A equals C, you are supporting someone who is terrible and miserable, and you are a part of that problem. So how can you say that the union is, has repeatedly reelected a horrible, racially, vengeful man, but only a few of them are bad? Association.
And isn't it funny that the only union that both the left and the right, at the left, we don't really have a left anymore, but that Democrats and Republicans haven't gone after or defunded in some way is the police union. We've gone after the teachers because we've got kids who can't read and that's a teacher's fault.
Mm-hmm.
We've gone after nurses because, you can't expect to get more money. Come on, we're trying to make some here.
Right.
We go after every union except the police union.
Well, they're like sacrosanct somehow. Like the Republicans, of course, they hate every union under the sun except the police union.
Right.
And we on pro-union side, and I'm also, I won't lie, I think that unions have a role, but I don't think that all unions have a role. I think that there is reason that has to be applied to different things. For example, the grocery store unions that, take these 14-year-old bag boys. You ever heard of these things? And they actually do have to pay their union dues, even though they legally can't sign a contract. Now, that's the type of thing where a union has to be reined in because this somehow has developed into some kind of a shakedown racket.
Well, and the biggest thing is the people that don't have unions are the ones who need the unions.
Mm. Yeah. By definition, right? by definition. Yeah. Randy, we got to take a quick break. I'm getting a sign that we got to go to commercial, but I've enjoyed this, my friend. You can, I mean, on Wednesday and Thursday as well. Don't forget to give me a call. I want to keep talking to you. Sound good? Excellent. All right. Brett, let's take that commercial, and when we come back, we're going to see if we got some other issues, and if not, we're going to talk about how to make our brand better in Ireland, because I'm drinking Slane whiskey, and I want to make sure we stay friends with these guys. Stay with us.
Hi, everybody out there in AM 950 Radio Land. This is Paul Metza inviting you to listen to a great new episode on the Wall of Power Radio Hour Weekend. We're featuring Bob Dylan's new record, his 39th. Some are considering it a masterpiece, called Rough and Rowdy Ways. We play several tracks, and we talk with great liberal blogger, columnist for Esquire.com, Mr. Charlie Pierce, about it. Charlie's a big Dylan fan like I am. We have a lot of fun and listen to some music. This Saturday at 6 p.m. on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
Hi, this is Laura. These are indeed confusing times. So much of our life, education, business, meetings have moved online, yet not everyone has internet access. AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota, is here for everyone. Radio reaches people without internet. In fact, radio reaches more Americans than any other platform. 92% of U.S. adults listen to radio every week. Radio connects. If you know some organization, maybe a religious or civic group, seeking to engage and knows that a Zoom call costs money and does not reach everyone, consider a taped or live broadcast on AM 950. Perhaps a virtual not-so-silent auction, recovery support, spiritual support, business networking, poetry slam. If you want to learn more about creating a live or taped message on AM 950, call 952-946-8885 or email Laura at am950radio.com. AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota, here for everyone.
This is Ellie Krug from Ellie 2.0 Radio on Mondays from 7 to 8 a.m. Many listeners know that I founded Human Inspiration Works LLC, which trains on human inclusivity and on how to be welcoming to diverse humans. Today, organizations of all sizes find that they need to train team members on diversity and inclusion. I can do that. Many say that my trainings change the way they see the world. I'd love to help make your organization more welcoming. For more information, go to humaninspirationworks.com. Thank you.
If you have a painting project, you should consider hiring Nick Slavic Painting and Restoration Company. We've been awarded nationally for craftsmanship, are highly professional, responsive, and fairly priced. If you feel overwhelmed by starting a painting project, we make it easy from start to finish. We move furniture, vacuum, sweep, dust, and put your home back the way we found it. There is a difference. Our professionalism sets us apart. Visit NICKSLAVIK.com. That's NickSlavic.com to learn more.
I'm Candy Broffel, publisher of the Twin Cities edition of Natural Awakenings magazine and host of Green Tea Conversations, a new show for people who are on a journey to take responsibility for their health and play a more active role in their family's well-being. Join me every Sunday at 10 a.m. as I interview local experts who share the latest in natural holistic approaches in a fun and informative way. So grab a cup of tea and join the conversation as we awaken to natural health. Visit us at naturaltwincities.com.
Welcome back to the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950 Radio, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. I'm Gregory Rich. I'm sitting in for Mr. McNeil, and we are talking about problems that America has and solutions, all on kind of a philosophical basis. And the top line subject has been the damage to the American brand, as I'm calling it, domestically and internationally. But we're willing to talk about any problems that you have seen in America today, provided that you have a solution that we can talk about. And I think that's critical. So the call-in number is 952-946-6205. So, Brett, part of the brand is belief in the structure of the system, right? Our institutions. And that's something that we have had absolutely undermined in the past 3.5 years, right? And it's partially, greatly justified to assert, I'm not going to say it. We've gutted out a number of our institutions. People have even less faith in everything. And tomorrow, by the way, I want to point out, I want to specifically talk about the justice system and how we can undo the damage to the justice system. But there's other types of damage that we've had. And I mean, let's just talk about voting, right? So Donald Trump has spent a tremendous amount of time talking about the expected, air quotes, fraud in American voting that's coming through in the next election. How do we get people to understand that that is complete BS? How do we get people to go and understand their vote matters again? What do you think?
That's a tough question again, because you're almost talking about the idea of telling someone the sky is blue and they're arguing, well, the sky is red.
Mm-hmm.
You almost have to go a step beyond, because it's tempting when someone says, well, the Democrats are going to steal my vote, or in Minneapolis, they're busing people in and giving away cigarettes to people to vote. By the way, that was an argument an actual Republican made, that they were busing in people and giving them cigarettes to vote. So,
you know, there used to be a mayor in Spring Park, Jerry Rockvam was his name. And Jerry won the mayorship by sending buses down to the retirement centers to fill up the buses with all the retirees, and they'd sit down to be a vote for Jerry Rockvam thing and take them out for a fresh airing and wind up grabbing all of their juicy ballots. So
that's an entirely different thing, though. But it's tempting when someone says, well, there's all voter fraud. People are voting twice, or people are voting outside of the district that they live in. And it's tempting on our part to pull up our phone and say, well, look at this article here. It says that's not true. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't really register to someone.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how you necessarily do that, because humans are kind of human nature is to listen to storytelling, not just a list of facts about what's happening right now.
A conspiracy theory is a lot easier than reality in most cases, and easier to remember and easier to internalize. So it's true. I mean, that these things are taking root as we speak. This terrible misunderstanding of what mail-in voting is and remote voting and things like that. I mean, personally, how come nobody talks about a mail-in vote? Mail-in voting, I think, is great in that you have a document that's there. It's been processed by the post office. You can count them. We're not talking about voting on your phone here where, you know, Russian trolls are hacking in and intercepting, putting out a fake site. So I don't even understand how people can necessarily think that it is so prone to, false voting.
I got to chime in on this, too, because this just proves how stupid, sorry to be blunt about this, how stupid Republicans have become under Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Because mail-in voting in the past has favored Republicans.
Has it?
Yes. When you look at absentee ballots and mail-in voting, typically those skew more Republican than the in-person vote actually shows. So it's just unbelievable that all of a sudden they're shooting themselves in their own foot, because in theory, they would be the ones benefiting from in-person voting, because most people who do that come from either higher incomes or they're older people, and those are two demographics that generally vote Republican.
What about the military as well? So the military has been voting by mail for, I don't know, eons, so to speak. And that is a strong Republican bloc in most cases. And I might also add, not to start a new conspiracy theory, but strikes me as it'll be a hell of a lot easier to send in false military votes on paper where you don't know what bases people are on, how many people are on this particular base, where you could really stack the ballot box. And yet they have no problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
Nonsense. And, well, I won't say what I was going to say. But, so I don't know. So we need just a public awareness statement. What about this one, too? What about legal ramifications for telling lies on a public forum? Should there be, if there is discernible, active misinformation that is spoken by a senator, I don't know, we'll call him Mick Cowell,
He kind of looks like a turtle, doesn't he?
Yeah, he is. Have you ever noticed, by the way, how strange it is that two of Trump's biggest enablers both resemble reptiles? You got Mitch McConnell, who looks like a turtle, and then you got Bill Barr, who looks like a frog. And I know he's amphibian, but still, it's the same thing.
Well, I never thought of the Bill Barr looking like a frog. You're kind of right, though, as I'm picturing him in my head.
Right? I think the Matrix is getting lazy. I think that we've been doing some code reprocessing in our virtual world. So should there be? I mean, to my knowledge, there are no laws that say that a public figure cannot tell a lie repeatedly. Should there be one? Should you be what's the term?
I think what would really go a long way to solving that is bringing back standards and practices that news organizations used to have in the 60s and the 70s and the 80s. But as those organizations became privatized and profit motive, they largely cut those types of departments.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to remember who this was. It wasn't my show. It might have been Mike McEntee when he used to host the afternoon show. He was speaking with someone who used to work in news back in that era, and they were talking about, if you used to run an ad, a political ad with false information, it wouldn't make the airwaves because it wouldn't pass the standards and practices department.
Mm-hmm.
But that's back when news organizations and TV channels largely didn't operate their news department with a profit motive. Now it's just, look at that political money. That funds a big part of our revenue.
Well,
I mean, I used to work radio in Iowa. That was a huge part of how we made money at our station every 4 years, was taking in that political money. Who cares if the information is false?
Mm-hmm.
That's a check in our pocket.
Because that is exactly what Facebook, that is completely what you're talking about, standards and practices, is the inverse of the bizarro world in which we live, which is Facebook, which actively says that if you're a politician, you can lie. They're not going to stop that. So, yeah, that's...
Well, supposedly they say that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whether they enforce that, yeah.
No, that's a good point. I know a lot of people who have had Facebook posts taken down for one reason or another. And so they are. I don't get that either. Yeah, they are applying some kind of mysterious standards and practices system, I guess. So I don't know. Maybe within the news media as well, what you're talking about, of course, is multinationals owning news sources and having to apply to that. Should a news source have to be, by definition, an independent entity?
I would think so. Are you talking along the lines of you can't have big corporations that own 300 news stations around the entire country, along those lines of being independent?
Like the McFlattery, whatever the...
Whoever it is, or the big one is Sinclair News. They own a ton of news. Fortunately, they don't own any stations in town, but yeah, they own a ton of news stations around the country.
I do think that is important, yes. So I would support that. But I would also, what I was referring to was simply having GE own NBC and, various tribunes all over the place. In other words, having some kind of multi-pronged, having a news outlet be simply one part of a much larger organization that is for profit, that seems like it would create inherent, unquestionable conflicts of interest.
Mm-hmm.
So I would support that. You should have just, limited geographical access. You cannot have the transnationals. They need to bring that back. I think Reagan actually got rid of that, didn't he? Mm-hmm. Back in the 80s. And then news shows themselves, I think, and channels should be independent. Newspapers should be independent entities.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for a while, going back to what I was referring to, one of the interviews we had here, up until about, the Reagan 80s, a news department of a TV station was seen as, I wouldn't necessarily describe it as a nonprofit, but they weren't supposed to make money. You weren't looking at the bottom line of your news department. It was pretty much expected, all right, they're going to lose money because you were going to invest in...
As a public service.
Yeah, as a public service, and you're going to invest in having investigators and things of that such.
Although, William Randolph Hearst... I guess he made his money, if Citizen Kane is to be believed. He made his money through a giant silver mine or something like that. But, the news business can be profitable, I would think. Well, I guess we just need to figure out a way to ensure that news is profitable in and of itself, and not necessarily to take it completely away from any kind of advertising in a pure...
Oh, I think you're right. Yeah, it's once you take it to that larger structure of having a corporate overlord looking over what you're doing, where you have someone who's only looking at the bottom line. That's what we often see now with local newspapers, where you have these hedge fund managers that buy local newspapers.
Mm-hmm.
They bleed it for all the money it's worth, and then they close it.
Yeah.
Because they're looking at how much money they can make from it. And, you've worked in the corporate life. That's often what you look at when you're 10,000 miles away, so to speak, from... whoever you're managing,
and it's
whatever
believed,
that subsidiary is.
It's believed to be that what you're supposed to be doing, because we've also bought in. The most the worst movie of the second half of the 20th century was Wall Street, where we glorified the Gordon Gekko character as being the individual who was, you know, the prototype, or not the prototype, but the on-screen version.
Greed is good.
Yeah, yeah. And that became the thing. It's why I think a lot of people are Republicans. They perceive that kind of cold-hearted focus on the dollar as being something that winners do, and that, you know, you're supposed to do for the greater good of society, and you can benefit in the way that you can, that, you know, along the way. But that is not, you know, that is not what is right in this world.
Maybe that's part of a larger solution, is convincing people that greed is not good, that Ayn Rand was not right.
How I like that a lot. You are, see, we're drilling into something. This is the whiskey is doing its work, because you are getting much smarter.
There we go. Yes. but I'm drinking water over here.
It's a good, yes, of course it is. Yes. Of course it is. It's critically true. The whole concept of what is and is not good has been lost. We don't talk about Plato. We don't talk about philosophy. We don't talk about anything whatsoever other than personal benefit. And greed is the most base of all those terms. We should take a quick break as we run and do a couple of ads here. But when we come back, we're going to talk about a couple other problems and see if we can come up with a solution or two. You're listening to Gregory Rich sitting in for Matt McNeil on AM 950. Stick with us, ladies and gentlemen.
That's life.
That's what all the people say.
Howdy, Matt McNeil here, and I love Rudy Luther, and not just because of my love of the Toyota Sienna. I keep going back because of Luther's top-notch customer service. A great example of that is the Luther Advantage Card. With every new and used vehicle purchase, you'll get 3 years of 10 cents off per gallon of gas at Holiday Station stores and $5 off the Works car washes. The Luther Advantage Card keeps you happy in your Rudy Luther vehicle, which in turn makes me and many others very loyal Rudy Luther customers. Find out more at Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Now, more than ever, we are being faced daily with the topic of human mortality. And for many people, estate planning has been top of mind. Getting your estate planning done now can be easy and cost-effective. Truman Law offers virtual options for initial consultations so that new clients can safely initiate the process. With many facing uncertain financial situations, Truman Law also offers affordable fees for legal documents. Learn more at schromanlaw.com. That's schromenlaw.com.
Being in the Army National Guard is about more than serving your country. It's about being there for your community when your neighbors need you most. The Army National Guard makes college affordable, and serving part-time can help you graduate debt-free. Do you want to stay close to friends and family? The Guard allows you to serve close to home. Serving part-time in the Army National Guard lets you have the life you want. Learn more by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Army National Guard, aired by the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and this station.
Would you let animals pick your insurance? Do you really need to experience mayhem to get the best rates? Or how about a celebrity quarterback or fake university saving you money? There's a lot of marketing stunts when it comes to insurance, but what you really need is someone looking out for you. Call Array Insurance, and they will work hard to find you the best insurance coverage and rates. So avoid gimmicks and call Cheryl at Array, 763-504-3067. Or arrayinsurance.com. Array Insurance, working hard for you.
There may be trouble ahead, but while there's moonlight and music and love and romance, let's face the music and dance.
Welcome back to the Matt McNeil Show. This is Gregory Rich sitting in for Matt McNeil. There can be no better intro to a political talk show at this point in time than let's face the music and dance.
That's exactly what you need to do.
Yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. I agree completely.
You can't dance around it.
Yeah. No, yeah, it's just the music's coming. You might as well dance. It might be a slow dance. It might be a dirge, really. But whatever it is, just dance.
What would the dance be of the Trump era? Now, that's a disturbing
thought
to ponder.
What would that? Oh, that's an interesting question. I want somebody to
be
call
some awful dance, like the chicken dance. I don't know.
Remember he did the chicken commercial thing on Saturday Night Live?
Wait, did he?
Yeah, there was some skit where he did Trump chicken, and he dressed up like Colonel Sanders or something, and he had dancing chickens all around him.
He dressed up as Colonel Sanders. That's not subtle at all.
Seriously. All right. Well, you know what? Let's go to a caller and see what the world has to say out there. Let's talk with Mike from Hopkins. Mike, welcome to the Matt McNeil Show.
Thank you very much. I have a touching upon something that was brought up earlier, I did my small part here to try and reclaim the red, white, and blue, and it's not something I particularly feel comfortable with. I'm old enough to remember when you'd see the stars and bars and the words America, love it or leave it.
I remember those too, yes.
But I did recently picked up a reusable face mask with an American flag face mask. And it's wearing a face mask should not be a political statement. It should be a matter of courtesy, as far as I'm concerned. But
it is right. I mean, putting on the mask is not to protect you. It's to protect everyone around you. And then by default, if we all do it, we're protected. But you're creating a huge level of cognitive dissonance in the Trump voter. You're wearing the flag.
Yes.
I mean,
I'm trolling them.
Have you seen anybody just walking down the aisle, takes a look at you, then suddenly just drops and does the croppy flop because they can't understand what's happening?
Is that the dance of the Trump era, the croppy flop?
Yes, I believe that could be the dance of the Trump era. Oh, that's funny. Where did you get the mask, by the way? Did you order it online or somebody locally?
Actually, I picked it up at the Hopkins Farmers Market. It's made locally. It's from NotTopic.com.
NotTopic.com, American flag face mask. Blow out.
Among others, there was a great assortment. But they're way cool.
That's fabulous. Mike, I really, really appreciate your calling in and sharing that, because I just love the visual image and the confusion that would create. And it is a step towards, again, reclaiming the brand, understanding that, you know, you don't own the American flag. In fact, the sheer fact that you think you own the American flag and other Americans don't means that you are not really entitled to own that flag.
I've always found if you have to claim that you're patriotic, you're probably not patriotic.
You know, I never understood the expression that patriotism is the last bastion of scoundrels, which I think was what Thomas Paine or somebody, a founding father, said that. And I never fully understood it until these days. But it is true.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's take another caller. We're going to go to Mark from Fridley. Mark, how are you?
Good. Hey, guys. Wall Street was Oliver Stone, and that was actually intended as an indictment against corporate greed and corporate raiders in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
But people ran with it like they were promoting it. But the solution is what you guys are doing right now and what this station does and what independent news does. And that's get an alternative to the corporate media. Malcolm X said, if you're not careful, the newspapers will have you hating the people who are being oppressed and loving the people who are doing the oppressing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we're at. I mean, media's job today is to distract people away from the true scope and scale of the problems that are, you know, being created by the people that own our media.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you know, I've heard you guys mention conspiracy theorists, and people have to understand that that term was actually created by the Central Intelligence Agency during the Warren Commission and the JFK assassination. And they wanted to belittle or demean or brand somebody who didn't believe the government as being a conspiracy theorist. Mm. And we have to, you know, look at conspiracy facts. I mean,
there are conspiracies, of course.
Well, yeah, absolutely. How about the Afghanistan papers?
Right.
How about the conspiracy of what just was on 60 Minutes on Sunday, showing that the FDA covered up for the pharmaceutical companies that were creating fentanyl-based super opioids and getting doctors to push them onto innocent, unsuspecting people that were seeking aid for their pain. You know, those are the conspiracy facts.
Yeah. And, well, they're conspiracies. They are. I mean, so a conspiracy, of course, is what? It's a clandestine. It's a hidden plan to do something. I think that has to be nefarious, right? You can't have a positive conspiracy. Brett, do you think you can have a positive conspiracy?
Yeah, that kind of goes counterintuitive, but maybe that term, as Mark is saying, has been so hijacked that conspiracy is automatically associated with something negative.
Yeah.
Well, in closing, I mean, I've heard so many people say, we need another 9/11 commission to look at and investigate police violence. Now, we're being told by our politicians that violence isn't the answer, yet we have 190 military bases throughout the world, and we're the world's number one arms dealers, and our police are loaded with military weapons, military hardware, military training, and military technology, and we're wondering why we're having a problem. But I just want to, whenever somebody says that, they have to understand that the two chairmen of the 9/11 Commission, Akin and Hamilton, gave a press conference and wrote a book, and you can play this because it's recorded. And it's fact that they said that the 9/11 Commission was a failure. The 9/11 Commission was set up to fail. Mm-hmm. It was underfunded. They weren't giving the power necessary to subpoena witnesses and to acquire the evidence. And, you know, so whenever anybody says, point to the 9/11 Commission or, you know, as being the standard, the people that were in charge of the 9/11 Commission, including Farmer, who was the chief general counsel for the 9/11 Commission, resigned because he said that he wasn't allowed to do his job. So the solution is what you're doing. People need to think for themselves. People need to healthy skepticism and actually cynicism, because the media, whether it's Fox or whether it's CNN or ABC or CBS, their job is no longer to give you information. It's to give you information, but not to give you knowledge.
It's to attract your attention to sell you merchandise.
Right. Mm. So you guys keep it up.
Mark, we really do appreciate that. I think you made some great points there. I don't have a lot of issues. It's, you know, one of the things that's interesting that Mark pointed out was, you know, the military-industrial complex, the fact that we are producing these massive amounts of weapons. And if we were to suddenly stop and say, you know, we just don't want these anymore, the unemployment consequences would be vast. So I think, Brett, you and I have talked about this in the past. How come nobody thinks about simply, instead of saying yes or no, because in America today, everything is yes or no, black or white, up or down. There's no alternative solution. We're dependent on Lockheed Martin, quite honestly. If we were to lose, you know, Boeing and it were to shut down, it would be catastrophic for all of us. But they don't have to make planes and tanks. They can make high-speed rail. They can make infrastructure for the United States and the world that we could be exporting instead of what we're already doing. But we refuse to get away. It's either or. We either have to pay nothing or we have to continue buying as many tanks as possible. And that doesn't make any sense at all. Right? I mean, here it is. We were going to pay you $15 billion for this particular contract, but if you don't mind, instead of the tanks, throw in some maglev trains for us. And suddenly everybody would win. We could slowly wean ourselves away from this dependence.
That goes to even beyond the military-industrial complex. We just have so many businesses. They're not even businesses. They're just conglomerates that are too big to fail, where, well, we can't shut down the military-industrial complex, we'll lose all of those jobs. Mm-hmm. Well, if we shut down private insurance, we're going to lose a bunch of jobs. But as you say, we already are in this mess already. Why not look for another solution and have them manufacture or provide something else other than what they're doing, whether that's health insurance or bombs or whatever?
Exactly. Exactly. Seems to make sense to me, but I can't think of a single person who has otherwise produced anything along those lines or any other or concepts that we can act on. All right, we're going to go to the commercials one last time, and when we come back, we're going to do one last segment. We got another caller or two that we're going to try to get to. Stay on the line. This is Gregory Rich sitting in for Matt McNeil. Thanks for listening, guys.
To happy hour, breaking on the neon sign.
Hi, this is Chad from AM950. Whether it's storm damage from the past or a new issue that's popped up over the years, Snap Construction is a company we trust for all roofing, siding, windows, and exterior construction needs. Snap Construction is arguably the most well-reviewed roofing, siding, and window company in the metro. Ryan has worked with many of our listeners and is excited to help more.
Thank you to all the listeners we have worked with and all the listeners at AM950 that we haven't had the opportunity to work with yet. This is Ryan, owner of Snap Construction. Safety of our homeowners and our team at Snap Construction has always been the utmost priority. We are still offering free, no-contact estimates. This summer at Snap Construction, we've rolled out a new referral program. Mention AM950 and we'll make a donation to the station in your name. Together, we can all work to ensure AM950 continues to thrive and grow in our communities. Call for your free estimate today. 612-333-SNAP. 612-333-SNAP.
Hi, this is Laura with Food Freedom Radio. In a time of growing food insecurity around the world, in the U.S., farmers are dumping milk, plowing under lettuces, and in Minnesota, a contract farmer had 61,000 birds killed against his wishes. The root structures of our industrial food system are becoming visible. Now it's time to pull up these roots. Shopping farmers markets, co-op, buying directly, and growing your own food. And that's what we talk about every week on Food Freedom Radio, Saturdays at 8 a.m. or anytime on podcast.
Seward Co-op, serving the community for nearly 45 years, invites you to shop their two convenient locations, both offering the strong commitment to local producers and healthy foods you've come to expect. Seward focuses on locally grown and raised products, fair trade, and environmental sustainability. Shop their selection of meats, artisan cheeses, and house-made baked goods. Find Seward at 2823 East Franklin Avenue or the Friendship Store on 38th Street and 3rd Avenue in Minneapolis. More at seward.coop.
Hi, I'm Scott Peterson with the Minnesota News Network, inviting you to join us this week for Minnesota Matters, a news, entertainment, and sports show covering everything that matters in the North Star State. Tune us in right here or at your convenience at minnesotanewsnetwork.com.
Listen to Minnesota Matters every weekend, Sunday mornings at 6:30 on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
I sure do dread it, cause I know just what I'm gonna do. I start to spend my money, calling everybody honey, and wind up singing the blues. I spend my whole paycheck on...
Welcome back to the Matt McNeil Show. Willie Nelson providing a little bit of accompaniment to the 3 o'clock drinking hour that we are enjoying right now. This is Gregory Rich, regularly host of Drink in the Style, Saturdays and Sundays on AM 950. But I'm sitting in for the venerable Matt McNeil. That must have been the whiskey that got my yeah. throat.
Owes you more money on that one. Hopefully not Monopoly money.
All right. Well, we have just a bit of time left, and I want to get back to some callers because this has been a lot of fun. Let's talk with Norm from Minneapolis. Norm, welcome to the, Gregory Rich version of the Matt McNeil Show.
Okay. Thank you. And I have to tell you, I had to have one and a half shots of brandy before calling.
And doesn't it feel good? Now you're ready for radio.
Well, I'm a little nervous. But anyhow, I don't see much in our fight or battle here of, how should I say this? What truthful history has proven that works for the middle class and the poor people? You know, like all our FDR and even Eisenhower and whatever else. Mm-hmm. And it's just, to me, I'm more of a visual person, you know, like charts and graphs and things like that, and, you know, truthful ones mm-hmm. or factual ones. Mm-hmm. And it's just that we don't see enough of that, and it's trying to show people that we're really on the wrong track. And during FDR's time, how it lifted poor up into the middle class. And I don't see that with us progressives, et cetera, that are promoting something like that to convince people, hey, this is the best way to go.
I think that's, you know, you're right. At some point, we stop providing data overall. And you can argue, perhaps, you know, maybe is it that American society doesn't absorb data and facts the way they used to? But I mean, look at it this way. If you were to take a look at economic performance in the United States since 1980 under Republican and Democratic leadership, you would find unarguably improvement under Democrats and contraction under Republicans. It's there black and white on a very easily, consistently measurable scale. And yet, that is completely ignored. No one shares that data because it's just assumed that Republicans are good for the economy and Democrats are good for other humans and you can't have both, when in fact, we can show statistically that you can do better when you're doing well than you can just individually. Do you agree?
Oh, very much so. You almost are speaking Paul Wellstone there.
You know, when I first moved to Minnesota, because I'm originally from the western part of New York State. I'm from outside Buffalo, New York. And Wellstone was the most bizarre experience for me. I had no idea who this crazy person was driving around in a bus in, you know, in the middle of, you know, apparently this corn country that I was unaware of. But, you know, and at the time, I remember my out-of-state take on him was, I don't know what he is. He's just a liberal. He seems totally crazy. No one's giving me any additional data on what's happening with this guy. Therefore, I will slough him off. And eventually, I came back and became much more aware of who Paul Wellstone was and what he was trying to accomplish. And I learned to appreciate the man. But it's exactly what you're talking about. They were presenting an image and not facts and information that I couldn't absorb. And therefore, I rejected what he was saying because I didn't like what I thought the messenger was.
Wow, I like your mind.
Oh, well, thank you. It's pickled. I appreciate that. Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to, I appreciate the call in, Norm. That's really a great observation. Have some more brandy and then call in again tomorrow. You have my invitation. Mr. Johnson, we're going to have to wrap this afternoon up, I believe.
Wow, the time has gone way too fast.
I know. I'm digging this.
You got two more days to do this, though, to solve the world's problems.
I know. Maybe we should switch over. So we've been working on whiskey right now. Maybe tomorrow we should try to solve the world's problems with vodka?
Well, let's try it.
All right, there it is. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have the flexibility to actually have a drink or two during the 3 o'clock hour while I'm in charge, I encourage you to do that. Otherwise, you've been listening to The Matt McNeil Show. I'm Gregory Rich. Thank you for spending the hour with me, and thank you for listening to the progressive voice of Minnesota. Be well.